come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Yeah, middle of the field. He's got Cruz. 35, 30.
Rosen intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
And welcome to Thursday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com. So glad you could join us. Alongside Howard Cross, I'm Lance Meadow. With you for the next 60 minutes, we'll get to your phone calls at 201-939-4513. You could also chime in on the conversation via Twitter using hashtag GiantsChat as we get you set for the Giants and the Jets, the latest chapter of this head-to-head rivalry within the city, as well as both teams having postseason implications at stake as well. So we'll get into that game. Tom Coughlin addressed the media earlier today, and let's start there, Howard, in terms of the injury report. And the offensive line, a huge storyline coming out of this last contest against the Washington Redskins. They were down Pugh. They were down Richburg. Jeff Schwartz fractures his leg. Pugh and Richburg got through practice yesterday. Tom Coughlin said that he hopes to get more work out of them today. However, Devon Kennard had a setback. He's still nursing that hamstring injury, so there's no status, at least at this point, as to whether or not he's going to be out there. But getting Pugh and Richburg back into the mix, Howard, I mean, that's important because clearly establishing the run and pass protection were two big game-changing type of storylines in this last contest.
I know. Well, Eli's been doing a remarkable job. I laugh when people talk about you know, how bad he's doing or what he's been doing. When you don't have, you know, three-fifths of your line or four-fifths of your line in some cases playing in front of you and you got new guys in, and they do it all over the league. Brady's doing it. Eli's doing it. They find ways to win games and find ways to make completions. I'm in shock. I mean, these guys not being able to play, I understand they can't play. I understand they're injured. I don't know anybody's body, and I don't want to talk about anybody's injuries, but this time of year, everybody's hurt. Everybody's banged up, so you got to find a way to get on the field.
Marshall Newhouse is dealing with a back injury. Tom Coughlin said they'll look to see what happens over the next few days. That means Bobby Hart may see more action. There was also some chatter about perhaps Justin Pugh could go back to right tackle. Tom Coughlin at least threw that out as an idea. So there may be a little movement this week as well.
After the game Newhouse had last week, I would not let anybody play. I would make sure I was on the field because you don't want to give guys opportunities when you've had a game that you struggled and you show up the next week and something's hurting, something sore. That may be why he was struggling, you know. But you don't want to give another guy a chance. Again, the world's changed a lot, but I always think of Wally Pippen, you know, Babe Ruth. It happens so quickly. Next guy up could be the guy for you forever.
Well, you bring up a good point. If you're Newhouse, you want that bounce-back performance that you get back on the right track.
You want performance you can get in the next show up. Absolutely.
Howard, in terms of the Giants' offensive line, regardless of who's in against this Jets front seven, which has a knack to get to the quarterback, also mm-hmm. very good in stopping the run, how do you see this matchup? What are some of the challenges that the Giants are going to face this week?
Well, there's two major challenges. Number one, you know, these guys, most of them are first-round picks or really high draft picks. That's number one. Number two, they stunt a lot. Stunting is when you have guys shifting down, going in one direction. We call ETs or TEs. When one tackle goes inside, the end loops out, or the tackle goes out, the end loops in. All that stuff is hard to handle for offensive linemen. It's hard to handle when you're playing against the guys that are that good and that athletic when they're rushing straight up or trying to make plays straight up. When they start to stunt, you're so focused on trying to get your hands on the guy, and all of a sudden he's going way inside and another guy's blowing by you on the outside. It becomes more interesting for them. There'll be a lot of study to see if they can pick up on, you know, some tendencies there.
And I'm sure the Jets, similar to what the Redskins did, Howard, they moved Ryan Kerrigan from side to side because Washington said, hey, we're going to try to take advantage of some opportunities that the Giants' offensive line presents. The Jets could do something similar. They're going to look, I'm sure, at the personnel that's going to be out there this weekend.
Yeah, not so much. I think the Jets have more pass rushers on their team. I think Ryan Kerrigan was a special player, you know, playing for Washington. He is a pass rusher. He is their prominent guy, right? So he's the guy that's going to be the guy. He's kind of their, you know, for no better term, their Ndamukong Suh, their J.J. Watt kind of guy, their McCoy guy. They need to put him in. They give him different spots along the offensive line to see where he can get the most penetration. Whereas the Jets have three or four guys. It's – you know, that's what you don't want to get involved with moving those three or four guys around constantly, they can just line up and go after you. It's kind of like the Giants when they had the NASCAR package. You know, you can put those four guys on the field.
A little bit more
miss
depth.
Them. It's just they have a lot more depth at the defensive line.
201-939-4513 is the telephone number. We want to remind you, Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code CONTACT to play for free today. DraftKings, fantasy sports free to play. Before we get to your phone calls, want to just shift gears here in terms of the Jets offense, what the Giants defense is going to have to contend with, Howard. And an interesting stat that I came across, the Jets are unbeaten this season when Chris Ivory has 20 or more carries. And when they pound the football like they did last week against the Miami Dolphins, Ivory had a 31-yard rushing touchdown. They're a different team than perhaps when they say, hey, Ryan Fitzpatrick, go out there and win us games, even though Marshall and Decker have provided a nice 1-2 punch. But like every game, you can say it's always important to stop the run. But specifically with the Jets, this is a run-first type of offense, and Ivory has done a lot of the heavy lifting.
Well, yeah, but you have to think about it. It's a systematic moment. It's a symptomatic, I should say, symptomatic moment. If they're playing okay, the defense is stopping to get more opportunities for the Jets' offense, they can, you know, try to run the ball more. When you try to run the ball more, you get more opportunities, you get more breaks in the line, you find your way through it. If you're and you know, Fitzpatrick is doing a great job for the Jets right now, but he's not a 50, you know, pass guy. He's not a 40 pass guy. That's not what they want. They want them to run. They want to run the ball, run the ball, run the ball. Throw a play action pass because the play action pass works if you're running the ball is working. So that's kind of what that is. It's like, again, it's symptomatic and it's systematic at the same time. If he doesn't get the 20 carries, if he doesn't get, you know, that number, it's because they got stopped on first down. Someone didn't catch the ball and advance it. Maybe Fitzpatrick got sacked. So now it's second and 10, second and 8. Then it's third and 9, third and 10. He has one carry in that drive. All right, so the next drive comes through. If they're behind the chains a lot, they're, you know, second and 8, third and 9, long third downs, he may get one carry in that drive. So it's not that he's doing so well. If he gets started, it's because, hey, look, he made a great run on the first play. First down. First down, they had a little quick pass on the outside. It got 4 or 5 yards. Those are the plays that, you know, continue your running back to run. There's no system made. Maybe, you know, Carolina's where you are running third and 5, third and 6. You're just not doing it unless you're trying to protect your quarterback from getting hit again. And that's what it is. You have to think about why he's successful, what's going on with their team.
Well, and they do use him as a receiver at times, too. They like to get the Jets running backs involved, as well as Bilal Powell, in addition to Chris Ivory. But I guess the more volume that Chris Ivory has seen during the course of the season, it's not, as you mentioned, that, hey, it's just run, whether they involve him as a receiver and so forth, takes a little pressure off of Ryan Fitzpatrick, similar to what we saw last week, Howard, where the Redskins weren't pounding the ball effectively throughout the game. They only averaged about 2.5 yards per carry last week, but it enabled Kirk Cousins to get that play action going, and that takes their offense to a different level.
Well, even more than that, the Giants, when they did get a little bit of a rush going, they would throw a screen pass. So, you know, and they executed it, you know, it was perfect. There were so many guys at Cousins, right at his feet, around his arms, whatever. The ball's dumped out to the outside. There's nobody out in the flat because the screen is working. So the back chips, because he's trying to chip on JPP. They're running the screen kind of in that direction, trying to like, okay, we're chipping on JPP. He's going to fight through the play, and JPP was getting after him because he was trying to get sacks as well. He had a great guy he was playing against. So it kind of worked out in their favor. It just did. If you get, if you get the guys behind the chains, if you get the guys in second and long, third and long, all that disappears. But if you have any success at all running the ball, or you get a little flare pass or anything out in the flat, you get 3, 4, 5 yards in the first down, changes the way the whole game's called.
And the Giants' pass rush certainly has been up and down during the course of this season. No sacks against the Washington Redskins. They had 3, though, the previous game against the New England Patriots. The Jets' offensive line's dealing with some injuries. Nick Mangold, their center, he's dealing with a hand injury. We'll see what happens throughout the rest of the week. But the Giants' pass rush certainly has been very up and down. They'd like to get a little bit more consistency out of that group.
Well, Fitzpatrick is notorious for it, and the Jets' offense, they don't throw the ball down the field. They don't have to. You know, you got Brian Marshall, you got Decker. They get the 8, 10-yard routes at the most. So they don't really have to throw it down the field. Ivory's running the ball, so if if it's first down, you throw the ball to Marshall, a little ball out in the flat, 4-yard little hitch or something, 5-yard hitch, he may turn that hitch into like a 10-yard. That's a first down.
And he doesn't need a lot of time to get rid of the football.
There you go.
If he's so dumping it off.
If you're, you know, so it's going to be very important for the Giants to get their hands up. You know,
deflections.
You can bat a lot of Fitzpatrick's balls. He's not as dynamic as a Drew Brees or something where he's looking for angles and stuff. You get your hand up, you can bat him down and get him out of the way. Guys don't realize he's not that tall, so you have to like really work on the thing that's always giving him the most trouble. Make him throw out of the bucket, kind of get your hands up, make him reach up to throw the ball high if he's going to throw it. You don't have to necessarily be hitting him, but you can cloud his vision a lot and cause him a lot of problems.
201-939-4513 is the telephone number. Hashtag Giants Chat. He's Howard Cross. I'm Lance Meadows. So glad you could join us for Thursday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live. Let's head to the phone lines this afternoon. And Ozzy in Hicksville gets us started. Ozzy, what's happening?
What's going on, guys? Look, listen, Lance, I don't have to tell you what kind of Giants fan I am. I'll tell you what. If you told me that Giants would beat the Jets and not make the playoffs, I would sign up for it right now. You have no idea how much I hate the Jets. I hate them with a passion. Living out here, guys, in Long Island, it's pretty much a Jet country, and I hate it. I work with 90% of the people who are Jet fans. Look, to me, the key to winning this game is stopping their run. You know their quarterback, Fitzpatrick, he's gonna give you a couple of those interception throws that he gives it to everybody. We just got to utilize on that. Cannot drop interceptions this week. And if they turn the ball over a couple of times, we score first, make them chase you instead of them leading. If they're chasing us, guys, we could win this game. What do you think?
I think that they're not a quote-unquote team that can score a lot of points on you. So if they're scoring a lot of points, it just means their defense is so dominant that you just can't get anything going. So that's one thing. And if you get the lead on them, you get 10 points. Once you go to 14 on this team, that eliminates Ivory from the game.
Yeah.
Now it's Fitzpatrick. Now Fitzpatrick has to make throws, like I said, more throws than he wants to make. He's a 20-22 throw pass guy. If he goes over that, then he's really, you know, the game's really in jeopardy, and now it's on his back. Make it be, if you can do that, if you can force it to be in his hands to make it him, you stand a chance. Now, again, the Giants aren't the greatest cover team, especially in the middle of the field. But you got to force it to be Fitzpatrick throwing the ball. And in the middle of the field, that's where the most, you know, clouded vision is going to be. So that's what they got to do.
And as you mentioned, Howard, he's not one that looks down the field. So you know for the most part he's going to look for those 8 to 10 yard throws, mm-hmm. even if they're down by, let's say, 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, they don't have the – even though they have one of the big play receivers in the league on their team in Marshall, he's not, you know, going down the field that many times at him.
Ozzy, appreciate
it. So yeah. Let me ask you one last quick thing. I know you guys got to go. Mm-hmm. I know their line, their offensive line is banged up too. I mean, you know, it's not like they, you know, we could, if we have we generate a little bit of pass rush, what do you, on a scale, what do you think, what kind of outcome of this game, what do you think we're going to do? You think Giants are winning?
I think the Giants can win it, but I think they can win it because that offensive line is banged up and that will kind of almost take Chris Ivory out of the game. I don't, you know, if they can find a way to get him, you know, stopped in the backfield, get early hits on Ivory, because, you know, he's a guy that kind of needs to get that whole downhill thing going. If you can get onto him early, stop him, and make it a Fitzpatrick game, pressure or no pressure, it's going to be hard for him to get rid of the ball and find the open receiver every time. If you start getting to him and hitting him a couple times, he's throwing out of that bucket, that gives the Giants an excellent chance to win.
All right, guys, I'll be watching and praying. I'll be praying 3 hours. Okay?
I appreciate the phone call. Ozzy, an extremely passionate Giants fan. We hear
Ozzy can't get his lotto number right
number
now,
time,
man.
Yeah.
He got to pray for this Giants-Jets game, man. I know how that feels sometimes.
Indeed. Let's head back to the phone lines. Andre is in Rochester. Andre, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Nothing much.
How are we doing, Andre? What do you got
for
us?
Yeah, I'm definitely praying, too.
We're having church at this.
Apparently. The Jets game, because, you know, the Giants will start that running defense. It looks like Landry Collins starting to step up. And I was just wondering, why wouldn't they try J-Ron Hosley or somebody else in one of the safety spots, you know, in the free safety spot or maybe the strong safety spot? because it looks like they're getting eaten up right there.
Well, they're getting eaten up with the safeties. What happens is if they don't stop the run or not super effective against the run with just the front seven, the safety starts to creep up. Once the safety starts to creep up, that's when you start to, you know, take shots right behind him and right over his head. That's when the tight end can really get involved in the offense because the safety is creeping down to make sure trying to watch the tight end, but he's really watching the back in the backfield. Once you run past him, you make the out and up. The safety's like he's in a mismatch from that point on. So in order for the Giants to really have a strong look at beating these guys, they got to get that run game going. Jerron Hosley, you know, if he moves back, there's not enough corners to play. Is it Wade? Is the other guy? You know, maybe you give him a shot at safety if you wanted to add another guy. You got Taylor, who's played and not played. He's a guy that could play safety. But safety is more about, for this team specifically, making sure you can stop the run, and then at that moment, those guys got to be able to cover deep.
And Brandon Merriweather, speaking of the safety position, he's dealing with a knee injury. So as Howard mentioned, Cooper Taylor could get perhaps more reps, more opportunities if Merriweather can't go. And you also have Craig Dahl, who we've seen on those tight ends the last few weeks, whether it be Jordan Reed as well as Rob Gronkowski. What else you got for us, Andre?
Yeah, thanks, man. There's a real captain problem, I think, in this team. There's a lack of captains. And that's what's bringing our team down. There's nobody to pick the team up and say, hey, we need to start getting it going. You know what I mean?
You're talking about vocal leadership? Is that
what
you're referring to?
That's what he's referring to.
Exactly, yeah.
I've been a firm believer in my entire career that, you know, guys that are screaming and yelling, that's awesome. But if a guy isn't making plays, he's a cheerleader. So I tell my son that all the time. I'm like, he goes out and – you know, I've watched him in his little freshman team. He was the guy in the circle screaming, yelling, pointing his finger, and it's so funny with that voice that hadn't quite matured yet, going up and down. I love that.
Squeaky
voice moment. And I'm like, ah. So I'm like, so now he's the guy who's in the huddle. I'm like, I can't believe that he makes all these plays. I'm like, you know what? Stay in the huddle. That's your spot. You got it. So he kind of led by example that in that game. So I was happy to see that. But that's the guy you want to see. You want to see – the Lawrence Taylors get in the huddle and start screaming. You want to see the Michael Strahans get in the huddle, start screaming. You want to see the Jesse Armsteads. These are guys that got noses for the ball, and they're screaming, but they're making plays the whole time. When you see J.J. Watt in the huddle, and he's screaming and yelling.
He delivers.
Yeah, no one's going like, well, hopefully he'll make a play. No, he's going to make a play. So that's what you're really looking for. And the Giants right now are looking for that guy to make all those plays, not just make plays, which is something that we always talk about, a guy who makes plays, but be available to make plays. And that's what they're looking for. They're looking for that guy.
All right, thanks for having me, guys.
You got it, Andre. Appreciate the phone call. I think you brought up a good point, Howard, because, I mean, if you're preaching something and then you're not getting out on the field and delivering it, all that is just chatter.
Oh, man, I see it every week. I go to the gym to work out. I'm all in there getting ready. I don't play basketball anymore, but I always dream of – I said, man, if I wasn't afraid of tearing an Achilles, I'd go play. And I watch guys in the screen. Whoa, 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 bah, 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 hey, hey. And they haven't crossed half court. They're screaming like,
but they're the loudest guy on the court.
Come on, man, you gotta get there. I'm like, get across the court. What are you doing? So, you know, you see that a lot. You see guys that scream and yell, and they want to be the guy in the middle of the huddle. That's all great and seeing fired up words, but, dude, when you show up, you're going to battle. And, you know, I know not to use battle because I know that's supposed to be the politically incorrect thing, but when you show up, you're going to battle. Put your gear on. You know, you're getting ready to fight. Let's go. Let's get it on. But if you go out there and you're like, I need Lance to get in front of me and scream and yell and hit me on the head to get me fired
just
up.
Just to get amped up.
Yeah, then I'm, you know, I should retire.
Something's wrong.
I mean, if for nonetheless that the guy across from me, he hopes that I'm not feeling good that day. He hopes
exactly.
Like, oh, dude, man, you know, oh, you got a stomach problem? Oh, it'll be okay. Just don't go out, though. Stay in the game. That's what they're thinking.
Of course, and then on the opposite side, I mean, just to bring it back to the Giants team, Howard, now, to me, the one guy that doesn't fit the profile of a vocal leader yet plays like a leader, DRC. DRC's a very quiet guy. He's not animated.
Oh,
he's not a guy that gets into the faces of people. At least that's not what he gives off maybe to the cameras.
I don't know if the cameras are catching, but DRC is constantly talking to the players. DRC is constantly, you know, needling and going through. He's talking to the coaches, explaining what's going on, what to look for. He's telling the secondary.
He's a student of the game.
Yeah, he's talking.
Correct.
You know, but you know,
but he's not like a rah-rah.
There's no rah-rah.
You don't necessarily get that.
Ray Lewis kind of made that popular. The whole screaming and dancing, and that's Ray Lewis. You know, God bless him. Good luck with that.
He kind of created that.
It's kind of like Ali created the entourage. You know, people don't realize that there was not a big group of dudes following you around until Muhammad Ali happened. Muhammad Ali had a guy who walks around behind him and say, like, you're the man. You're the man. You know you're the man. You're the man. Like,
yeah.
Okay.
Set
so
the tone.
That's the guy.
Got him in the movie.
You know, like,
yeah.
I'm the greatest of all time. You know? And I'm like, wow. Like, you read that and you start to realize that, okay, so every era of athletes, they bring something in. And that rah-rah speech thing started happening, I want to say 15, 20 years ago, when a guy got in the middle and really – and I think it probably always happened, but they started to put it on TV. ESPN and Fox and everyone started to put – even the teams run out with the camera and put the boom mic over to hear this guy giving the speech. What is he saying to his teammates to get them going? I'm like, that's cute. He's a cheerleader. All right, let's go.
So now he's got to do it on the field.
Yeah, you got to show up. You can scream and yell and pat each other on the back and be excited, but if you don't play and if you're not making plays, stop talking.
Well, and that's why when you talk about this amongst fans or in the media, it seems to be associated that a guy who's vocal, a guy who's amped up, Howard, mm-hmm. it automatically translates to the football field. But that's not necessarily the case because we see quiet guys that don't say anything yet constantly deliver.
You got guys all around the league, and it depends on the guy's personality. It depends on his reputation publicly and otherwise. Whether if a guy screams and yells, oh, that guy's got passion. He's a guy. If it's Dez Bryant, it's not passion anymore. Now he's a troublemaker. If it's somebody else, then, you know, if it's J.J. Watt, he's got passion. It's
because of his reputation.
Yeah, it's perspective. So, like, fans want to see it, but they don't know what they're looking for when they see it. If they see a guy screaming and yelling, you saw that guy getting after guys? A great example was Flowers one day. Flowers was in a game. He came on the sideline. He pulled the team together. He screamed and yelled. But he was beating his man. He was beating his man down. So, like, that was his moment. But you got to carry on. They can't be that weak because you got a clerk. You got to play great against some good players, and he's done so.
Set the tone with your play, and then talk about it on the sideline.
Talk about it whenever you want to, as long as you get them done.
Absolutely. And no, the Flowers example was perfect earlier in the season, and that was not part of his personality.
Well, that's not what no one. That's in retrospect, it is because they hired a guy that's a tough, hard-nosed football player, a guy who really wants to make plays and really wants to get after it. That's Flowers. So, you know, how he plays kind of came out when he was playing. You know, I got an ankle injury. Well, we need you to sit out. I'm not sitting out. I'm going back in the game.
Like, you have to cut off my legs to prevent me from playing.
Well, it would help you if you, like, it would help you too, but I'm getting back in. I can do this. That's what you're looking for. You're looking for that guy. You're looking for the fighter.
The mean streak that he's got. Let's head back to the phone lines. Chris is in Virginia. Chris, welcome aboard. What do you got for us?
Hey, how you doing, fellas, man? Couple things I wanted to talk about. Just to piggyback off of what you just said, you know, you think about, you know, Eli's not one of those rah-rah guys, but, you know, he's had his moments.
Oh, yeah. He's been up and down the sideline, you know, a few times.
Yeah, well, I mean, when you see it, you're like, okay. You know what I mean? Like, you know this dude is – he's something going on in his head right now. Everybody pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
But real quick, I just wanted to throw it out there, man. In my mind anyway – The problem has been, and apparently still is, offensive line depth. I feel like we haven't addressed that. I feel like we brought in a lot of B and C guys, you know, to play backup and also linebacker, man. I mean, what is it going to take, you know, to actually maybe spend some money, go after a guy? And I know the Giants are not, you know, famous for, you know, going free agency and spending a lot of money. I know that. But, I mean, at some point, man, you got to take a shot. You know, maybe we got something with Brinkley. I'm not sure. That'll pan out. We'll figure that out. But, you know, and by the way, and I'll take this off the air. I hope you guys respond. I think Reuben Randall will be a free agent. I don't see him coming back. And I feel the same way about Rashad Jennings. So y'all take it easy, man. Enjoy your holidays. I'll take it off there.
You as well, Chris. Appreciate the phone call.
Well, you know, first, I don't know who's going to be here, who's not going to be here. I can't make any comments on personnel. Offensive line depth, I understand what he's saying. I get it because Eli's running for his life a lot or making the plays. But the Giants have drafted two first-round linemen, Justin Pugh, Big Eric Flowers.
And Richburg, too.
And Richburg was three. Second or third-round pick.
Second-round pick, yeah.
All right, so you got three guys. You got three-fifths of your line the first two rounds of the draft. So they're addressing it. They got two more guys to go, and they got to find a way to get those two guys. And linebacker, I'm not sure. I really – you know, Kennard, I like Kennard. I want Kennard to play. I want him to be that guy. He looks the part. But, you know, the hamstring thing, the foot thing.
Dealing with some injuries,
man. That's, when you get nicked up in your legs and stuff, that's a tough thing to overcome. Some guys overcome it, never go back, don't worry about it. And some guys, it's just in their body. They just get every – there's a tweak, there's a pull, there's a – you know, and again, the league has changed a lot. There is no more – I need to be on the field. There's no more, you can't make the club in the tub. All that's gone. So now you got to get tough-minded guys and find a way to keep them, you know, keep them motivated to play, keep them on the field. And it's strange that I'm saying keep them motivated, but you got to find those guys. And, like, linebackers, there have been a bunch of linebackers since Jesse Armstead. I'm going to go to Jesse Armstead. That's how far back I'm going to go for a linebacker. There hasn't been that kind of guy, that perennial Pro Bowl guy. You had, I think one time, who's the linebacker went to the Super Bowl?
Antonio Pierce.
Antonio Pierce was a good linebacker, but he was not Jesse Armstead. And Antonio was a really good quarterback of the defense, knew where to go. He overcame what he lacked in speed or what he lacked in size with intelligence.
Smarts.
Yeah, and that made him a valuable player. Actually got him into a Pro Bowl. Where do you get that guy? There have been a lot of guys in the draft come up, go by. You don't know. If you pick one of them and they don't pan out, it's kind of like picking a quarterback that doesn't pan out. It just hurts your team.
And then the cycle just continues.
Yeah, the cycle continues. So you're constantly trying to find that guy. I'll always ask fans. When fans make those comments, and I didn't ask him because I know he had to go. I'll always ask him. He can think about this on why he's listening. Who would you pick? Who would you pick up? And like I hear guys on our staff, guys in the radio room, guys in the TV broadcast, they even say, like, man, if we could have got who? Who are you getting? Like the joke I've made, you weren't here to hear it. I said, the NFL's a cruise ship. You're on it, you're partying, you're having a good time. Once you get off the ship, you're in the water. Boat keeps sailing. They don't roll.
Keep up with it.
They don't swing back around and pick you up. Like, you're lucky if someone grabs you out of the water and puts you on the team. Like, it starts out in the OTAs. I didn't make anybody's OTAs. Now you're in training camp. Didn't make anybody's training camp. I didn't make anybody. Okay, the first couple of weeks you might get hurt. The boat's gone. Every once in a while you'll find out the boat might go by you again and you can get back on it. But most of the time the boat's just gone. So I wonder where these guys are going to come from. Okay, you have to be priced out of a situation. You got to be a Dominican Sue and get priced out of your team. That's the only thing I can think of. That's a guy who goes in free agency that you consider getting. But if the Giants pick up a Dominican Sue, that's a $100 million contract.
Eats up a lot of cap space.
$100 million. Who do they get to, you know, play with them? And at that time, they thought they had JPP. So those are the kind of things. Can you pay JPP at that moment when he was in before he got injured, 80 to 90 million bucks, and pay a Dominican Sue $100 million? Can't do it. So those kind of thoughts of how you get that great big spending player, it's a very delicate and crazy thing to do. I don't do the salary cap. I don't know. I'm not a GM. I'm not a capologist, but I can see how difficult it is. How do you get Eli paid? People say, well, he's not worth that much. Really? Never misses a game. He's there no matter who's in front of you. He doesn't care who's in front of you. He finds a way. He's playing. He's taking, getting hit, getting up.
Durable.
Keep going again and again. You know, 30, 40, 50 passes in a game sometimes with no line. And when guys are hurt, he gets it done. So, again, you can't get everybody paid. Think about this. Odell Beckham, he's in his second year. 2 years from now, what are you going to pay that kid?
So when you're sitting, think about this.
Yeah,
stuff,
you got to, like, it's not like you're just putting a team together today and, like, It constitutes today. We're building a winner for today. And a lot of teams try that. They try to build that winner for today. They do everything they can. And then somebody, Peyton Manning, prime example. Well, he's not playing as well as December. You just get that dude $100 million. What do you mean it's December?
Can't just make that money disappear. No, absolutely. You brought up the point about Eli Manning and his durability actually in relation to the Jets since Manning came in the league in 2004. Just to put things in perspective about how fortunate the Giants have been, the Jets have started 12 different quarterbacks.
I made a joke the other day, and it was very funny. I said, since, this time we think about Pro Bowl players and Giants, whoever. I said, since Eli Manning, who's not a perennial Pro Bowl player, name how many players that the Giants have on their teams that are perennial Pro Bowl players. Go back to 1990.
Yeah.
And like outside of Lawrence Taylor, Carl Banks, it starts to dwindle really quickly. Then you have Michael Strahan. See what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a very hard thing to assemble those kind of guys. And when you get them, you're so blessed to have that guy on your team that you try to keep him.
But if there's any position that you want that continuity and stability, Howard, it's the quarterback position.
Not one team in the league can play without one.
That's the difference between making and missing the playoffs and doing it consistently. Let's head back to the phone lines here. Lewis is on Long Island. Lewis, what's happening?
How you guys doing? Quick question. On behalf of all Giants fans, what's your opinion on why our defense struggles so much against tight ends, you know? Like, is it the linebackers going to be able to cover, like, tight end or the safety not hitting their assignments? But I feel like week in and week out, these tight ends are guaranteed their 80 to 90 yards a game against us. Just what's your take on it?
Well, I think the biggest problem is that you got – if the guy who's covering him on the line of scrimmage doesn't get a big jam on him right then and there, then he's going to run free. He's going to get by you and the safety or whoever isn't going to be able to make a play on him. The other thing is if the other team runs the ball at all, the tight end becomes a factor. The moment the other team starts running the ball, tight end becomes a factor. So now they've shut the run down. What do? You have to jam that guy. You have to take him out of his route. And you got to get some pressure on the quarterback. 4 seconds in, you know, a good play takes about 3 seconds. Quarterbacks usually get out of his hands right around 2 seconds. A bad play for a defense takes 4 seconds or more. You know, if you're 4.4, 4.5, that's 40 yards. You can be down the field. So that's a bad play for the defense. So you got to get that play to happen. The ball's got to be out of the quarterback's hands. Or he has to be in distress. If you're not doing that, that's a hard time. So the linebacker who's watching the quarterback, he only has so far to go in his zone. If the tight end or anyone else gets past his zone, then the next guy's got to pick him up. That's a lot of work for those guys. I mean,
yeah, I understand.
And it's a lot of work from the standpoint of you got to get guys that are playing together. And Coach Spags is doing a good job of bringing guys together. But every week you got a different guy trying to do it. You don't have the guys who started in OTAs, who started in mini camp, and get all the way up to training camp. They have not been the same guys that are here right now. That's a hard thing to do. You started out thinking Beeson's going to be the middle backer. He's going to call the defense. We're going to be able to do X, Y, and Z. Okay, Beeson's out. All right, well, Unga is going to be the guy. Unga's out. Brinkley's going to come in. Castile. One of these guys are out. Somebody's out constantly, and you keep trying to get those three guys to jail because they got to jail behind the four guys in front of them, and they got to know what's going on. It's kind of hard to do. Hey, look, I know that you're going to be here. Not just because you're going to be here, because I know where you're going to go. I know when you're going to stop covering, and I need to pick up. I know where your eyes are going to be. You're going to get to you're supposed to get past the center. You're a guy who never gets to the center. So I got to take a couple extra steps in your direction to get into that spot. And you get to know that when you're playing with guys. But if you every week there's a different guy, you start thinking more about the assignment instead of who you're playing with. And that kind of – that's part of the problem. Every team does it. Every team does it. Just how is this team going to do it? And like a lot of these guys, Brinkley wasn't here the entire preseason or anything, right? Showed up.
Right, he was a late addition.
And Castile, was he here early?
Yeah, Casillas has been here.
Casillas. I keep calling him Castile. Yeah. I had a teammate, Castile, in Alabama. Casillas was here the whole time. So you got, like I said, different guys anticipating playing in different positions. you know, all that's going on.
Well, and Craig Dahl's another good example,
Craig
Howard,
Dahl.
Who you referenced, because he's somebody that came in late. He had experience with Spags, but he hasn't had necessarily experience with the personnel
groupings. What any – like, a guy like Cromartie is a very unique guy. Cromartie can play into the coverage, play with everything that's going on, and then still make the play. Like, he's helping direct a lot of stuff. That's why they don't throw his side. They're like, I don't want anything to do with that guy. So they try to go the other way. They're looking for the right matchup. And that's what's happening in the middle of the field is, are the safeties secure with the linebacker who's standing in front of them? Do they know what he's going to do? They know how far he's going to cover a guy through, through a zone? All that stuff, all that matters. And I'd like to say that by week, 11, 12, whatever week this is, you'd have it all down. But every week you got another guy trying to do it. And so you got to get pressure on the quarterback. So it stems back to the original thing that we've talked about since training camp. You got to get some pressure on the quarterback. Because once
– thanks for taking my call, guys. Appreciate it.
You got it, Lewis. Appreciate
Once you don't get that pressure, all that stuff starts to show up. It just does.
Because then, obviously, the pressure on the back end of the defense increases because they're going to have to make more plays.
It's like the 3 o'clock in the morning. When you turn on the lights, you get to see the warts. I mean, it's ugly. You can see what the ugly thing is and how did I get here? Why was 3 o'clock in the morning? That's what's happening. So after the 3 o'clock, the lights come on.
Well, and you mentioned the play of DRC, Howard, and one of the best examples in this last Redskins game. I mean, remember that DeSean Jackson touchdown? DRC goes out. The Redskins picked up on that, and then they targeted the new personnel groupings.
Everybody that is playing against the Giants, Drew Brees put a blueprint out for the Giants, unfortunately. And the blueprint was, hey, look, this guy right here, number 41, he is a dangerous dude. Okay? If they send anybody else in, 28, 38, 31, I don't care who it is, look for that guy.
We're going to test that individual.
Yeah. If 28, 38, or someone's on the inside – not so much. Just look for him to get the jam or not get the jam. But if he's on the outside, that's where you're going. And that's what the teams are doing. The coach looks up, and there's coaches on the sideline who are watching personnel. They see him go out of the game. Hey, 41's out of the game. 31 came in. 48 went out of the game.
He's the eyes and ears.
Yeah, he's telling you who just walked out. You know, and they're looking for specific guys. I mean, every team does it.
Yeah. That's part of good coaching and part of picking up on the other team and the weaknesses and the strengths and so forth. Remember, fans, Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings. Now, if you've never played on DraftKings, it's changing the way we play fantasy football. Just pick your contest, pick your players, and if you win, pick up your cash. Simple as that. Go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code CONTACT to claim your free entry today. DraftKings, fantasy sports, free to play. Let's head back to the phone lines, and we check in with Andrew in Pennsylvania. Andrew, what's happening?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing well, Andrew. What do you got for us?
I don't mean to be too much of a Debbie Downer, but I got to talk about the running game. And I understand completely it all starts with the offensive line, and we're just decimated by injury, and that's no one's fault. But because of that, I was watching, like, I know it's not 1985, but I was watching highlights of Joe Morris. Is it, like, against the rules to run out of a formation like that now? I know no one does it, but isn't that a reason to do it, to catch them off guard, especially with our beat-up offensive line? Like, would it kill us to run out of the eye more or to put two halfbacks in? And as far as I'm concerned, Andre Williams should just be a healthy scratch every week. I mean, I was really excited when we drafted him. He comes from a town that borders mine, like from high school. Mm-hmm. So I was excited for that reason. But, like, I mean, it's every time he's in the game, I know it's a loss of two. So what do you guys think?
Well, I know that Andre Williams is getting better as a receiver. I know that for a fact. And I know that but the security that the team or the Eli or whoever has in him is probably his downfall, kind of. If they believed in him more in the passing game, his running game would pick up. Because when he comes in the game, it's like, well, they're
running the box.
They're going to run the ball. Let's load up and go after him. So either he's trying to chip somebody or he's trying to, you know, the team see that. And, I mean, the Giants know that. So they're doing all they can to school him up to make him feel as comfortable as possible when the ball's in the air coming in his direction. That's one. Number two, he's the kind of guy who needs a – you know, I used to think this was crazy, but now I'm watching him. He needs 3 or 4 or 5 carries to kind of get what they say, in the rhythm of the game. And now the game is not a rhythm game. It's like, it's a specialty game. Hey, Lance, you're going to run the ball this time. Hey, Howard, you're going to run the ball next time. Somebody else gets in the game. And you got, when you have multiple backs, and that's what that whole fantasy football thing is, when you, only Adrian Peterson is an every down back.
Where he gets 25 to 30 a game.
Yeah,
everything
he,
else is a running back by committee type thing.
Derrick Henry at Alabama. There's not going to be an NFL player who's going to get 40 carries in a game. There's just not. I mean, it may work. It may be something. You can't get 40 carries against grown men. They're going to have a chance at you. So
I hear what you're saying there, but at the same time, we only attempted 13 runs last game for 33 yards.
And,
like, we got to get on the ground more.
Okay, so let's do the math. 13 runs, 33 yards. Were we having success?
No, that's less than 3 yards
per
carry, I think, right?
Yeah. Well, and Andrew, on top of that, what Howard just pointed out, I mean, that's 2.5 yards per carry. Plus, you're also down 17-0.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that also changes
true.
The game plan as well.
True.
I think both of those factors hurt the Giants as to why they weren't running the ball in the second half.
Yeah, the second half, the whole game. I mean, just you got, and we had some decent runs up the middle, but the ones that don't work, they really don't work. So we give up. It's kind of like we give up a lot of plays for loss. There are some teams that do that, and if you're doing that, if you get one guy that's getting beat or one guy's a turnstile up front, that back's got to be so creative. Like Ahmad Bradshaw when he played here, he was creative at making the first guy miss.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have guys like that. McCoy leaves Dallas. He's going to be this giant. You know, he's the guy, and how's he going to do? He goes to Philadelphia. I'm like, yeah, but that guy that was in Philadelphia, he made the first guy miss. So, and he gets there, and he's like, I'm going to do this. Philly's got a great line. First guy comes through, tackles him in the backfield. They're like, we didn't pay for this. I'm like, oh, yeah, you paid for this.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't realize that you weren't blocking that first dude. That first dude's free. And you got to be able to get around that guy. And you got to have a back that has that kind of style running. But it's a mix and match kind of NFL we have. And these guys, when they show up, they got to be able to do a lot of different things. And if they can do a lot of different things, a great example is, I always think this is funny to me, but Danny Woodhead. Who in the world would think that guy could play football?
Yeah, from the Chargers.
Yeah, it's a mix and match. Some things got to click with that guy whenever he's in the game. You know this guy can do it, and Andre Williams is trying to find his place, but unfortunately, he's got like a really, really defined kind of game right now, and guys are keying in on it.
That's why the versatility is so key, and appreciate the phone call, Andrew.
Thanks
so much for chiming in, and this was based on the point that you brought up earlier, Howard. You used Danny Woodhead as an example.
Mm-hmm.
Woodhead is very effective as a wide receiver, so when Danny Woodhead's in, the defense needs to say to itself, well, wait a minute. He may not be running the football. He may actually be going out into the flat and serving as a wide receiver.
When the Giants were really healthy earlier on in the year, and they had a lot of success offensively, they'd go out of 12 personnel. From the 12 personnel, for people at home, 12 personnel is two tight ends, one back. So they would come into the game, and one of those tight ends could play fullback. One of those tight ends could play, he could go from fullback to slot.
Versatility.
Yeah, he could go from slot to four wides. He could go from four wides to five wides. And he could come back to 12 personnel with one tight end on each side of the line. They ran a whole series like that, and they kept moving the guys from formation to formation. Every formation has a defensive special group of people to play against. But if you never substitute,
they
can't substitute. They have to keep the same guys in. So all of a sudden, you got to run personnel in, and you go into a pass formation. The defense that you're looking at a group that's in. You're looking at run guys who are trying to play against the pass. They're not every down players. It's specialty moments. So that's when the team was doing its best work. But at that moment, can you put Andre Williams in? See what I mean? Because if it goes to truly a pass down, and you need that guy to be a viable receiver, that's where they're trying to find out. And I understand why people are frustrated, but when you put him in the game, he's kind of a runner. He's a dynamic runner, but he's a runner. So load the box. Don't be an idiot. If he's in the game, load the box.
201-939-4513 is the telephone number. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. Let's head back to the phone lines. Len is in Maryland. Len, what's happening?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing well, Len. What do you have for us?
Good. Well, I like Andrew's point. Let me just mention something. Joe Morris, out of the I formation 30 years ago, inside the 10-yard line, was unstoppable.
Yep.
That was a great formation. But it's 30 years ago. Now, it's a whole different game now. It's a whole different game. But Morris was... he was terrific, particularly in that situation. You might as well just post the score on the scoreboard.
Almost he was getting in. Any back in the league today, if you tell him that you could run out of the I backfield, almost I'd say 98% of them would raise their hand and say, "Put me in, coach." It's just the way that it is different now. We don't get that many options.
Of course, Joe had Maurice Carthon in front of him.
Yeah, but
that didn't hurt.
But back then, they weren't walking the safety down in the box either.
Yeah, that's true.
So, Howard,
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know how you knew what I wanted to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
But there were two things that you brought up were the reasons for my calls today.
Okay.
And let me just, first of all, Lance, I'm going to throw out a number. This is what Howard was talking about. I'm going to throw out a number. It's not terribly scientific. It's not generated off the computer. I'm doing this from memory. The number is 70. That's the number of players who've been on the 53-man roster since week one, and we got a third of the season to go.
Yep.
70 different players.
That is
unbelievable.
In fairness, and I didn't mean to interrupt you, I'll let you continue. I mean, it'd be nice to know what that number is like in comparison to the rest of the league.
It's about the same.
There's a number of teams that have gone through similar circumstances.
It's about the same. Yeah. It's about the same. It just, when it happens, it happens.
And you got to deal with injuries and next man up.
Yep. Okay. Yeah, I understand.
I mean, look at the Patriots now. They don't have an offensive lineman, I think, that's started the entire season.
My game plan for Sunday, Howard, and maybe we go to two tight ends a little bit, try to get a running game started.
Mm-hmm.
But listen, here's what I tell the guys in the locker room just before we go out on the field. Trust the game plan. Give me 60 minutes of hard-nosed football. That's all we can ask for. We'll check the scoreboard at 4 o'clock and see where we are. I mean, if they're playing hard and they're trusting that game plan, we're going to win this game. Howard, I'm going to differ with you a little bit. One last point. I'm fighting off a cold, if you guys can't tell.
Okay.
I'm fighting off a cold. Just one last thing. You can't offer McCourty the same amount of money that the Patriots are offering and expect him to suddenly say, "Wow, I can't wait to live south of White Plains." You got to go higher, Howard.
Well,
that guy's a difference maker. You can't negotiate with these guys by offering exactly the same amount of money.
I agree, but they're offering the same amount of money because evidently his agent may have been talking to someone. And again, remember that a lot of times, like any negotiation, you need a stalking horse. You need someone out there that's willing to say they'll get. The Yankees did it for years, and agents did it to the Yankees for years. The Yankees, the famous agent for baseball, would say that so-and-so's interested in the player, and then the Yankees would up their bid. And meanwhile, never, ever talk to the other team. So if you get an offer from a team, if the player wants to come, you talk to the agent. The agent says, "My player really wants to come there," and then all of a sudden you offer him money. You can offer him the same thing. You can offer him a few dollars more. If you offer him a few dollars more, then his bid goes up on the other side. So you got to know a little bit about the player, his personality.
I understand.
Think about the kid Jordan from the Clippers. He was going to go from L.A. to Dallas to play basketball. The difference is he would have been, instead of being a complimentary piece, he was going to be the guy. He got in a room, he sat down, he looked at it, he goes like, "Do I really want to be the guy? Same amount of money, but do I want to be the guy?"
Do I want to be the guy
day in and day out? Or do I want to be like, "Hey, man, you look good, Blake Griffin. Hey, man, Chris Paul, you look awesome." Why come I'm not hitting free throws?
and he made a choice. Trust the game plan. Play hard. We'll check the scoreboard at 4 o'clock on Sunday. Let's go, Giants.
Appreciate the phone call. The other thing to keep in mind is, remember, in free agency, Devin McCourty actually went back to the Patriots and gave them an opportunity
in terms of
the whole negotiation
process.
But
what he was saying was what the ideal he was trying to make was that offer him more. And if he's willing to leave, offer him more. That wasn't the case. He wasn't unhappy.
Correct.
So you offer him a little. You offer him the same thing to see if there's interest. He went and signed with the Patriots right then.
Yeah.
He was fine where he was.
He was comfortable with that team, and therefore he was going to give them every opportunity to return.
And if you offer them even more, he's probably still going to lean towards them and give them a hometown discount. He just won a Super Bowl there. He doesn't want to leave.
Because there's a number of factors, as you noted.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's money. Sometimes it's the role. Sometimes it's the family that's comfortable in that area.
And
there's a lot of different factors.
And if you're a safety and you're a decent safety and you're playing with the Patriots and you get an opportunity to come to the defense, even though Spags is going to be here, you hadn't really seen what this defense is going to look like with Spags. Do I want to go to a team that gave up so many 40-yard receptions that kind of puts it all on me? Or do I want to stay with a team that – somehow, some way, they're always in the mix. That's kind of what that was.
Real quickly, before we get back to the phone lines, I know we're getting some questions on Twitter about the injury report. So in case you're just joining us, let's just reset here. Tom Coughlin spoke earlier today. They're going to practice as we speak, so we don't know necessarily who's limited, who's full, and so forth. But Justin Pugh and Weston Richburg got through practice yesterday, and Tom Coughlin expects them to do more work today. Marshall Newhouse is still dealing with a back injury. In terms of the linebackers, Devon Kennard had a setback with his hamstring injury, so he is not practicing. And that's pretty much the bulk of the injury report. Anything else will certainly be put up on Giants.com throughout the course of the day. Let's head back to the phone lines as we move along here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. JD is in Virginia. JD, what's happening?
Hey, good morning. Try this again. Good afternoon. My name. I just want to give a shout, say hello to everybody. I just have really one question. I need you to talk me off the ledge. And the reason why I say I need you to talk me off the ledge is because I'm trying to figure out what kind of Giants team am I going to be looking at on Sunday. Am I going to look at a team that actually really wants to play? Because there's been – I mean, I actually was at that game at D.C.
Okay.
And when I actually see people trotting instead of running routes, you see what I'm saying? And I'm looking at this team. It seemed like the team didn't really wake up until like it was like 10-10 left in the fourth quarter. Then somebody said, hey, I think we need to stop playing football. And – that's one of the most discouraging things, because people always ask me, oh, what happened to the Giants? What happened to the Giants? And I tell people they could have, should have won a game. So games that they should have won, the games they could have won, and the games they would have won if they actually would have played. And that was one of those could have, should have, would have games. Because, honestly, you cannot tell me that the talent that the Giants have and just the sheer drive is greater that basically they couldn't compete with the Redskins. And, I mean, I looked at this game, and I sat there and watched this game and seeing lackluster effort, seeing people that, hey, this is your route, run the route, and there everyone's trotting on the field. Yeah, of course, you know, Will Tye is getting targets. Yes, Odell Beckham got the most targets that he's gotten all year this particular game. But the main thing about it is, where is Harris? Where is Randall? You know, it's sad that it took a 4th-and-16 for Randall to finally wake up and run a route correctly. You see what I'm saying? And the one thing I can just say is it's one thing to lose a game, but it's another thing to lose a game and not give the effort. Because I'm telling you, from my perspective, actually being in there, it just seemed like they were pretty much lollygagging. It's like, it's just like this. The way they play this Jets and the way they play against the Jets is going to show me if they're a team that's like, you know what, we actually feel that we can make that run to take over the East, because they actually had it laid out in front of them that, you know what, with this simple win, we're playing a little bit more effort, a little bit more crisp, we could actually bona fide be leaders in the NFC East. And to actually see that go kaplooey kaplunk, that, you know, it's a little discouraging, but at the same time, I always love my team. I always got love for them, always root them on, always cheer them on. But the main thing is, I want to know what team am I going to look at. Am I going to look at a Giants team that wants to play, or am I going to look at a Giants team that seems like it's over, we're just going to go ahead and go through the motions?
I appreciate the call. You got guys that are fighting. Everybody's fighting, believe it or not. You got guys dealing with some injuries. Not with injuries. They're putting themselves out on the field, giving themselves the best shot. And when fans say that, I feel bad for the fans, because I know they're looking at it from their standpoint, and they want it to be better. They wanted to be great. They wanted to be, but I've said this a lot of times on the air, Lance, you haven't been here. You got what you got. You got the players that you have. You've kind of paid to have these guys. They got to perform at a certain level. If they get nicked, if they get banged, if they get whatever, they're still going out there. They're trying. No one's not trying because the eye in the sky don't lie. When you're trying to get contracts and you're trying to get paid and you're trying to make money, you are not giving less than perfect effort because, hey, look, that big cruise ship I said about earlier, it is just moving along. And once you hit that water, it's like it's hard to get back on the ship. So guys aren't doing that. What you did see, though, you saw some guys that weren't ordinarily in there on the offensive line getting some burn. They were like maybe overwhelmed when the big-time pass rusher was in front of them. So he moved around from spot to spot. Okay, I went after you. I'm going to go after you. Well, I'm going to leave that big kid alone. He's killing me over there. Let me go get somebody else. And that's kind of what you're looking at. Now, can we get enough of our linemen back on the field together? That'll change things. Can we get, you know, our tight ends to catch a couple more passes? That'll change things. Harris is beat up. That guy is, like Eli, one of the toughest guys I know. I don't understand how that guy takes so many hard hits. That hit he took on the sideline when the interception.
Yeah.
He gets up, goes back in the game. I'm like, you would have called the paramedics. They would have stopped the game to helivac me out of the stadium.
Yeah.
I just don't understand it. But he gets back up. He keeps going. And, you know, I do the post-game show from the road. I'm in the tunnel. And it's crazy the amount of guys that are getting x-rays from both teams. Not just the Giants, both teams. Guys are walking through with the doctor. You know where they're going. They're not going to talk in the back. Smoke them if you got them. They're going to the x-ray room. So, to me, you know, I don't know how to explain it other than it's a different world. I'm like, I'm watching football, but I know it's just different. You got to figure out a way to get it done. And I think they got a chance to get it done. I think if they win this week, it could be a big step ahead. But it's not winning the entire getting into the playoffs. It's one game at a time. I hate to say the cliche, but it actually is. Build on the one game. Not only win the game, but get out of the game healthy. That's the hard part. You can win the game, but get out of the game where, hey, we got another game next week, and guess what? All of our players are showing up. That's the toughest thing that our team, you know, all teams are, but our team is dealing with.
Losing Jeff Schwartz, like you mentioned, yeah. I mean, that's obviously a key loss. Now they'll hopefully get Pugh and Richburg back.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not as if we're talking about season-ending injuries with those two, and that will hopefully bolster the offensive line, and they'll slowly continue to improve. Yeah, because when you lose two of your key offensive linemen, it's not a stunner that's going
to
impact.
Yeah, but you lost one guy to an ankle, so we know that means that any wrong moment, ankle again, you lost the other guy to a concussion. I still don't understand the whole concussion protocol thing. So if he's got a concussion, he doesn't have a concussion, how do you know you got a concussion? I'm not going to read anything on it. Don't send me any emails. Don't send me any tweets. It's just part of the thing.
Well, we were going to have you go through every step,
No,
that's unfortunate.
No. It's a big read. I don't have patience. If it's not a comic book or a video game instructions, I don't want to read it. I
mean, the summary version.
No.
That's all. Yeah.
I read a lot of contracts in my job now, so I don't want
to. We don't need to make it more complicated.
I don't want to read any medical terms.
Understandable. Yes. Well, and the last point here before we wrap up the program, and the caller was hinting at this too, JD, consistency. You know, I mean, that's the big thing that the Giants are still striving for, Howard. And if you go back and you look at the schedule, you know, against the Patriots, a play here, a play there, hey, they knock off New England. That was a game in which, if you look at the whole performance, all four quarters, you know, the execution was there, the effort was there.
Listen, I
they
get
were
you.
Fighting from start to finish.
Les, I got you. You got what you got. You're getting what you're getting, no matter how you want to look at it. First game of the year, Dallas, they had them. Next game, Atlanta, they had them.
Another close game. Yeah, a lot of tight games.
They've had – it's not like – the Eagles game is the only game they really got blown out in. But all the other games
– they've been right into it.
Right into it. They've had the lead in more than half of them, I believe.
Yeah.
So it's not – they're not – they're one – we were always told from the age of YMCA ball, which I guess now is Pop Warner, or rec ball, to the age of the NFL, there are about five plays in this game that are going to decide if you win or if you lose. If you're involved in those five plays, you want it to go the right way for you. To do your job. Understand what you're doing. Like, all my life has been the same conversation. you play hard every play. You're trying to get something done every play, but there's going to be five plays where you're going to have a chance to affect the game in a way that you don't believe. Even if it's a blowout, believe it or not, there are five plays that cause the blowout. Five plays every game. Five plays. How are you going to deal with those five plays? If that play comes, it's basically like, you know, you're catching the bunt, the ball's hit to you or something. If a pitcher's pitching a perfect game, he didn't strike out 27 guys. Like, are you going to be the guy in the outfield that pop fly is just a little short? Are you going
to
get there?
You got to hustle to make the play.
Yeah. So it's like five plays in almost every football game that decide the outcome of the game. And you got to decide what are you going to do when that play comes to you? Where are you going to be on the field? Are you going to be the guy? Are you going to be close to the ball? Are you going to make sure your guy's eliminated from the play? Are you going to make sure that you're not eliminated from the play? Five plays. Where are you going to be in those five plays? What are you going to be doing? Are you going to be in the camera? Not the all 22. The camera shot from the end zone, which really narrows down what's happening on the field because it keeps it between the tackles. Are you going to be in that camera shot? Five plays. That's a crazy thing that people don't really think about. They think about a lot of things, but they don't think about the five plays. No one thinks about the unblocked man. In every play in football, there's an unblocked man. Did you realize? Actually, there are two. There are two unblocked men in every play in football.
Based on the averages?
No. There are two unblocked
men. Two always.
Every play. Why is that?
Well, I'm going to let you explain.
Because the quarterback's not blocking anybody.
Okay.
And the guy with the ball's not blocking anybody. Well, there's two unblocked men in every play. The ideal in every play is to get those two unblocked men as far away from the ball as possible. So it's a strange game.
The way you laid it out sounds obvious. Some disagreement
it
there.
It sounds obvious, but you know how hard that is to do?
Yeah.
You know, as a defensive coordinator, your job is to get as many people around the ball as possible. As an offensive coordinator, your job is to get those two unblocked men as far away from the ball as you possibly can. It's a very funny, very strange game.
That's the chess match that goes on each and every play. That's the game of football wrapped up into about one sentence. We appreciate all the phone calls, all the tweets over the last hour. We also want to remind you that Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code CONTACT to play for free today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. For Howard Cross, I'm Lance Meadow. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday. Big Blue Kickoff Live coming back right here on Giants.com Friday at noon Eastern. Have a good one.
All right, here we go, here we go. Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go, let's go.
He's got through. 35, 30.